So essentially what we tried to do is, to the extent possible, replicate what really happens in a room like this with a teaching couple at the front of the room, to have it happen online. We hope it's worked. Now, then the third step, then, if I have personal charts, what do? I'm 3,000 miles away, right? Well, there's two options. The old-fashioned option, you scan your chart, you email it to your teacher, and you get on the phone or you in Skype and you can talk about it. Or now we have CyclePro Go, so if they're charting online, all of our CCL teachers have instructor accounts on CCLs on the thing, so they can find us there, they can share the chart with their teacher, and actually within the charting tool, the teachers have there's a field for the teachers to actually write comments. So even if you don't necessarily review in real time and communicate with each other, you can give feedback and begin to have some of the dialogue. If people want to, they can share their charts with others as well. Something that is a little astounding to me, but people don't always worry about sharing their charts. So you can share it with the world if you want.
They friend them.
Yeah, that was. I was totally shocked that we had seven couples in a class on a military base, and the military community was very close. But one of the students had started charting, and everyone was trying to see what it was. And she, oh, just a minute. And within seconds, they all had her chart on their phones, and they're all looking at it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's amazing.
Yeah. Wow. I am officially old every time I hear these stories. So those are the mechanisms. So I just want to spend just a couple of minutes on what we think some of the bigger issues are, and I take it from three angles: the technology, the teachers, and the students themselves. So from the technology side, it's important. We've learned that teachers really do need a dry run to get comfortable with this thing. It's a little more than just what you've always done in front of a classroom. And so we set up a system where they start a class with us at the office, and we let them play, and we ask them a few silly questions, and we purposely cut the phone off and those kinds of things, just to give them the chance to get comfortable. It's important that they also have some technical tips. You know, like if you've got four web browsers open while you're taking the CCL class, your audio is not going to keep up with the video. And so you remind people to close their other applications down and pay attention to class. And then you do need to be creative from time to time. My wife and I were teaching a couple in Montana during a snowstorm in Montana in February, and we kept losing the audio connection. So we just went to a cell phone, and we put the cell phone in front of the laptop with the speaker on it. We just talked as normally, and they listened on their cell phone and speakerphone. So you've got to be creative now and then, but it's a little different skill set. I will say I am frankly disappointed the audio system in WYSIQ is not comfortable. If you wear earphones and a microphone, it's perfect, but people don't want to do that, you know. And there are technologies out there that are better, but unfortunately this system just doesn't have it. And the cost of some of those other systems is just prohibitive. I mean, the monthly fees alone are just mind-boggling.
Can you tell us what the fee is for the WYSIQ?
The WYSIQ?
Yeah.
It's a few hundred dollars a year for an account, I think.
Uh-huh.
A few hundred, like $700 or $800. And I think we get some kind of nonprofit discount as an organization. Mm-hmm. And we have five accounts, so we have all the time zones covered and one backup. So we kind of bought in bulk on purpose, and we negotiate a lower price. But I would guess $800 to $1,000 a year. I can't remember the actual number now. There is a free system. I have a personal free account as well that we used to use, but it's a little different than the online version. So, and then one of the issues we did wrestle with is when we first started this, we had every teacher who was going to teach online have their own individual account. But that got to be difficult in managing things, and of course if we wanted to replace a slide in a presentation to upgrade, we'd have to find out who's got an account and everything else. So we've moved to a shared account system. So as I said, we have four or five accounts. We can cover every time zone in the United States simultaneously if we need to and have one backup. If we get to the point where we're teaching so many classes on Monday night at 7 o'clock Eastern time, we could do it that way. It's a lot easier for us to manage. It's a lot more cost-effective as well. But it does take now there's some coordination and overview. You've got to let the teachers know what's what. So we have a common calendar that we use. And in yellow here are the dates that the teachers have for the English classes. And in the green are the Spanish classes. So we just keep a calendar like that. And we manage, we actually sort of manage the virtual teachers almost like a CCL chapter. So we say, okay, we need 52 classes in English this year. We need one a week. Who wants to teach in the first week in January? What day do you want? Who wants to teach in the second January? What day do you want? Who's going to do the Spanish class in January? And we just manage it that way.
Is that available online?
That's a shareable thing. I think this is like a Yahoo calendar thing or something that we use. The teachers can all see it.
No, but I can't go to the CCL website, find a class, and have all of that pop up.
No, but if you go to the CCL website and you want to find a class, just go search register for class, and the whole listing will come up.
Yeah. Okay.
And I go there all the time to see who's got classes and what's going on. Mm-hmm. When it's time to rally the volunteers, say, hey, we don't have enough classes online.
So, do you have the same thing built in as the billings that there's a certificate of completion from that? We have it mandatory. If I were to tell our priest, hey, we could also count the virtual classes, but he'd have to have some sort of
document. Yeah, we have a certificate of completion that the teachers can give out at the end of class three. And it's an electronic PDF that they can email to their virtual classes. So they can fill it out and then push it to their couples and they can get it. We've been using in the Diocese of Covington a little questionnaire to get feedback from the students right after class. So we trade them their certificate of completion, which they need to get married, for a completed questionnaire. So we get 93-94% compliance with the return of our questionnaire. So we have a good sense of how people are feeling after taking the class as a requirement. And I'm encouraging all of our teachers to do that regularly. Okay? That too is online for your reason. Teacher lessons. There is a real learning curve. Talking to a PC in your living room or the dining room is not the same as talking to human beings. So you do feel a bit like the news band at 6 trying to add drama and whatnot, and remembering that if you move out a camera angle, they're going to look at the back wall. They're going to see your mother-in-law's picture on the ceiling. So there are some other technical issues you need to get a little savvy with and be able to give some tips. And then you've got to learn some tricks occasionally to check in with the students. You've got to be a little more deliberate because you can't read body language quite as easily with the big classes. So, hey, Bill and Mary, still there? You know, how about Mary, you answer this question this time, and let's move over to Sally over here, or Fred, or whatever. So something that surprised us is our teachers have come back raving about how convenient this is. And you saw in the example there, that couple, he started the class, takes him about 5 minutes to get everybody logged on and people wander in and everything. And so she was putting the baby to bed while he was doing all that, and then she walked in and started teaching the class with him, which is really nice. And, of course, if the occasional disaster happens, somebody has to go referee with the kids in the house, you know, they can step out and step back in a lot easier. No travel is really nice, and of course there's a lot less setup. It's even simpler than taking your DVD to a classroom somewhere and plugging it in with the machines. The chart reviews, I will be honest, we're having no more greater success getting couples to give us the charts to review than we are in live classes, but I don't think the online gives us any impediment either. I think we're seeing the same rate of return that we get in live classes.
How about the second go-go? Are you getting more?
Well, you know, we've only had that out since April, so we're just now seeing class students come online. But I suspect that will help. It will be easier. I mean, the students have been asking for online charting for years, so we finally caught up with it. What happened here? Thanks. Okay. So for the students, as was said earlier, this is not new to them. We think it's all great and cool and new, but they're going, yeah, so where have you been all my life? I think we're catching up to their expectations. They do appreciate the convenience. I do believe that there's a sense of that dynamic in a live class, a sense of camaraderie that sometimes gets created. And you know, we probably all experienced times when we've taught a class and they've really bonded, and those folks have ended up being real movers and shakers, and some of them become the next generation to take over. I'm not sure we're getting that in these virtual classes. On the flip side, though, and I think you guys have alluded to this as well, I think the sense of privacy, even when they're in a class with 20 other couples connecting in, there's a improved privacy, intimacy kind of aspect that's here. And, of course, for separated couples, it's really been fun. We taught a couple. She was in Florida. He was in Ohio somewhere. and we taught them. And so they got together and met each other online through the class, which was kind of fun to watch the dynamics with that. Spanish classes, you know, we assumed that Spanish folks would like this as well. But what we discovered is while lots of Hispanic people use the internet and they have mobile phones and that kind of stuff, the notion of logging on, using a laptop to take a virtual class doesn't seem to be as popular or as common. And so our more productive mode for teaching in Spanish is using what we call a remote setup. So we take a room like this with an internet connection, put a piece of technology in with a room monitor, we'd create a physical class, the way we call it a remote class, but it'd be a physical address where the couples would come, and then we simply bring the teacher in electronically. And that's been really helpful. We had the Diocese of Omaha wanted Spanish classes, and of course there isn't a Hispanic teacher within about 200 miles of Omaha. So we had a California couple whose baby always got up early in the morning. They taught the class early Saturday mornings from California into Omaha.
So what do we need for that if we were to implement that somewhere in
the remote class? You need to contact Sylvia Schmidt at ccli.org, okay. And she can set it up, and we'll arrange to pair a teacher with you.
Do they need a projector? They need a.
There is some technology stuff, and we also want to do kind of a technology test with the location to make sure the high-speed internet is there. But it's not much more than a laptop, an internet connection, and a projector. And then it's really nice if you've got a Spanish-speaking person who could be the room moderator, mm-hmm. to sort of mm-hmm. be there, to read the body language, and not be afraid to interrupt the teacher. Say, I'm not sure Jose and Maria understand this. Could you come in and review that again? But again, we have kind of a cookbook recipe sheet set up, like what's it mean to be a room monitor for a remote class, and we can get that to you. And we're happy to do that wherever we can. I know a lot of people need Spanish instruction. But we do think that the remote system is probably the more effective way in the short term to get to Spanish.
To be a room monitor, would you have to be trained in CCL?
No. It's nice if they know NFP, because they may be able to help a little bit.
Right.
But yeah, you know, you need to be willing to help and not afraid of the technology.
We did that in the diocese at the cathedral in Dodge City last year, and Sylvia was really helpful in getting us set up, and I was the room monitor, and there was no way for us to introduce that method if we hadn't used the remote format.
So
it worked very, very well. And it actually, because we were able to introduce the method, it helped a couple to get pregnant that was really struggling. So we're trying to do it again. You might be about to say it, but how often are the classes? Is it once a month for 3 months? Is that how?
Yeah, it's the standard class. So we three classes about a month apart. Sometimes we move those around. Karen and I, we always end up, we teach the second Sunday of the month. It's kind of what we've done forever. Well, the second Sunday of the month in May is always Mother's Day. So we never teach on Mother's Day. And we've learned to avoid Super Bowl Sunday. That was a faux pas. We made that mistake once. So, you know, they're not always 30.0 days. But, yeah, that's the standard. It's really, we're trying to do the exact same class that we do in a live setting.
What's the time difference, like class time? Is there a long, like, lags so that it turns out that the class takes longer because of the technology and waiting for people to log in?
No, the classes run 2 to 2.5 hours. Now, we recommend people kind of log on about 10 or 15 minutes earlier. And when you first log on, there's a test on the WYSIQ site that tests your camera and your audio. So for the first class, the couples come in a few minutes early. They can go. But the teaching time is really very similar.
Okay.
And you saw that couple, when they were doing the practice exercise there, they weren't waiting for everybody to come back and tell them it was dry day on day five. And it's like, okay, you get on. You know, these are adults. Let's get on with it. But you do want to make sure that you're setting an expectation that you're not there just watching TV. You know, you're participating.
So then if you have a large class, you can see six couples at a time. If you have 10, then you can flip your cameras
on and off.
Look at the first four and then bring
right. And there's a mechanism the student can raise their hand and it shows up on your control screen so you know they want to ask a question or they want to talk.
Oh, so you can click on them so you can see them. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have a lot of experience with couples who maybe don't have the webcam and they're just doing the audio, and how do you know that they're really in?
Well, no, we actually say that's a requirement. And most laptops, if you bought a laptop in the last 5 years, you've got an integrated webcam. Or you go to Radio Shack and spend $19.95 to get one.
So they have to have the webcam.
Yeah, yeah. Because we want to know they're there.
Right, watch it. Maybe they can, have the audio off and you watch it.
Other questions? I appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Thank you.